Hello and welcome back to the podcast channel. Today with me, Kerry Curl, wedding industry business coach to bridal hair and makeup artists. And today I wanted to invite another guest about this topic that is just on my mind so much lately, because I think it needs to be brought to the surface of the industry even more than it, is out there. So I've invited the lovely Megan, who's come in and very kindly said she wants to unpack her journey. So welcome, Megan.
Thank you.
I'm so thrilled that you said yes to this, because I think the more people that we can hear their stories and find out more about their journey, the better people will actually feel about themselves out there right now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. And from listening to Lauren's episode, it just made me realize even more that there are more of us undiagnosed or going through the pathway that are in the same industry and having the same struggles. And there's so many people that I've recently been talking to in the industry that are having the same struggles that I just feel like actually us talking about it is the only way that we're gonna kind of get through it together.
Absolutely. So, Megan, tell us where you're from, what you do, your contribution to the wedding industry, and a little bit about you.
So I am Megan Robertson. I have a business called Occasion Hair by Megan, and I'm based in Sussex, not too far from Brighton. Grew up in Brighton and was always very creative, as most people with ADHD do find. Always found keeping a job was always really tricky for me. Worked in childcare for a long time, and then just found this absolute love of bridal styling whilst I was having IVF to have my little boy, and just found it so relaxing and peaceful, and my mind kind of stopped whilst I was doing it, and I was like, I feel like I've finally found my place. So it kind of just went from there.
Love that story. Yeah, you finally found that you have arrived at where you should be in life. But Megan, let's just go back a touch. So when did you first realize that something was a bit different about the way that you viewed the world as such?
So I've always been quite socially awkward. I've been an over-talker, overthinker, all that kind of thing. And when I think back now, I always kind of knew there was an inkling of there's something just a little bit there. I've got friends and family members with ADHD and autism, and my son is now diagnosed autistic. And kind of when I got his diagnosis was when I started thinking, hang on a minute, this is kind of ringing a lot of alarm bells for me. As you know, with your children, autism and ADHD are very similar. And I'm now actually on the pathway for both. So I'm looking into it being all ADHD. I find that I went through a phase where I was like, there's got to be something going on in my brain. There's too much information all at once. I can't store it. And then funny enough, me and Lauren actually met through a hairdressing academy. And when she was going through the pathway as well, she was like, I found you because we're both neurodivergent together. And it was literally like me meeting a soul sister. It was so weird. We had so much in common, but we also had the same worries. And growing up, I really struggled with anxiety and was very depressed because of my anxiety. And my anxiety held me back from doing so many things that I loved that I was then medicated for my anxiety. And ADHD in women can also be diagnosed. You struggle to get a diagnosis because they just think you're an anxious person. But actually, so many things came together and it was like, ah, here you go. I'm literally ticking every box here. So, I just wanted to kind of find out more about it and what was going on. And then when Lauren was going through her diagnosis, I was like, okay, this really makes sense.
Yeah, so when did you get diagnosed with ADHD, Megan? Or are you? And what's the process?
So I did Right to Choose here in the UK. You can do a thing called Right to Choose. So I basically went online, filled out a questionnaire, and they actually do one for ADHD and autism. So I did both because I was intrigued of whether it was kind of both or just one or whatever. So I did that, and it generates a letter after you've done your score to your GP. So you can take it to your GP and give them an insight that actually I have been doing some research about this and trying to figure out what is going on. And because I had my history of anxiety anyway, it was kind of a link to that. And then my son having autism and it being a genetic condition, there was obviously a link to that sort of thing as well. I also have a brother that has just been diagnosed with ADHD. So when I spoke to our GP about it, he was like, yeah, there's kind of things ticking boxes again for me. So that was kind of great because the right to choose system then meant that I didn't have to have an initial assessment before I had the ADHD assessment. So I only recently got my ADHD diagnosis, literally a couple of weeks ago, I got the letter. And that was kind of a, like, I haven't, everything that's been going on in my brain isn't just because I thought I was difficult or thought that I was an overthinker and all that kind of thing. And then when I mentioned about the autism as well, that's kind of a slightly different route you have to take. And so I'm currently still on the pathway for that, but that's something that hopefully should be kind of going through now that I've got the ADHD diagnosis. I think that that'll be sooner than I actually think it will be now.
Yeah, that must have been a huge relief for you, Megan, because it's like, oh, finally, I now feel where I should be, and this is what I, you know, this is what my life now needs to look like. This is how I can best support myself. So, I love that. Thinking about, you know, in the industry and things like that, have you ever experienced any kind of stigma or misconceptions about ADHD in your personal life or in your career? Personally, you know, have you noticed anything like that?
Yeah, it's a funny one because recently, being more open about it, I've had a surge of brides that are also neurodivergent, which to me is really, really special because I feel like then I don't mask and I'm me and they appreciate me for me. I had a girl come for a trial a couple of weeks ago. She sat down and she was like, "I've got a little feeling about you." And I was like, "You've seen, like, we kind of got each other," and it was so lovely. But I also do feel like on the other side, there are times where I really do mask it and I really try to be this confident, outgoing person where I'm actually quite an introverted person. And sometimes I'm only just kind of working out now that that's something that I kind of need to stop doing because actually, as Lauren kind of said, it is a superpower. And I always say to my little boy, it is a superpower. So I feel like actually everyone knows someone with autism or ADHD. Everyone pretty much does. And if they don't, I feel like actually I can be one of those people to help educate because I'm someone that's going through it. I have a lot of teachers that come to me. I have a lot of nurses that come to me. So actually their background as well is really helpful because I want to learn more about it. I'm still learning. So I find, yeah, there is a stigma. There is still times where I think I won't drop it into the conversation, because I don't want people to think that I'm unprofessional or that I'm not willing to do certain things or I'm not able to do certain things. But I think that comes with any sort of disability in quote marks there, because it's not a disability to me. There are times where I do feel very much like I can't do today. It's not happening. But when we spoke about dopamine and that kind of thing, like I've realized that on back at school, I used to hate certain days of the week and be like, nope, not going in this week, not going in today. And then the days that I would have my creative subjects, such as like I did dance and drama, and media studies, I'd be like, right, I'm ready to go. And I realized that that's my dopamine. That was what was going to feed me these hormones that I needed and make me feel good and make, because I was good at those things. When I would go in and I'd look at a day that was very academic, I'd think, oh my God, it's going to be a day where I just feel like I'm rubbish at everything and I can't do it. And I feel like now in this industry, everyone celebrates everyone. So many people are so accepting. And I feel like there's one of these things now, like when I do meet other MUAs and hairstylists and all this kind of thing, like you can kind of get a little sense that they kind of understand what you're going through. So yeah, it is a strange one, but I'm kind of getting through it more and more. And I feel like as I'm now in my 30s and most people are diagnosed at sort of late, mid to late 30s, I feel like I've kind of got to take that diagnosis and hold on to it and kind of make it a positive thing rather than a negative that I feel like it's always been when I was growing up.
Yeah, massively. I love that. And you're right. The stats are between 25 and 35, most females are now being diagnosed with ADHD. And you touched there upon the days that you really didn't like in school when it was very academically inclined and there was lots of deep work to do. And then when it was the more creative days, you would jump head first in. Which brings me into my next question, Megan, which is, CEO days, how does that work into your life? That's not going to be days that you really enjoy, but how do you get through that?
I feel like the little drops of dopamine I find in that is that people want to hear from me, and people that are inquiring or emailing me or whatever want to reply. So I do get a little bit of when I press that send button, and I'm like, "Oh, that's done." But I do find I can be sitting staring at my computer for hours and being like, "Oh my, there's just too much, overwhelmed." I'm sitting still. I'll find that I've got like shaky legs because I need to be up and doing stuff. So I listen to a lot of music whilst that's kind of what motivates me as well. So a lot of music. I'm a big country fan, so I listen to a lot of country music and I'm like, just keep going. But like Lauren, I've also got creative freedom and it's literally changed everything. Actually, Lauren and I met through Lisa Alger, so that's always quite special anyway. And Lisa, when she was coming up with the idea for creative freedom, she was like, "I want you guys to try it and test it and all this kind of thing." We were like, yeah, let's do it. And one thing that I said to Lisa was, if I can use it and it's user-friendly to me, then anyone can use it. So the fact that my to-dos are all there, that what my payments are all there, my everything I need to do is all in one place. I feel like now I haven't got spreadsheets upon spreadsheets and notebooks everywhere. And because I do find that I just want to write things down and get things on pen and paper. I'm quite a visual person. So even when I style, like I like to see a picture of what they're looking for and how I can achieve that. So I do find that since having creative freedom, I have got freedom because I don't sit there for hours doing the same thing over and over again and pondering about schedules. And schedules used to be the absolute bane of my life because I used to look at these schedules and think, how am I going to get a start time and an end time and then figure out what goes in the middle? And now it all kind of just does it for you. And I feel like although it does it for you, you're still involved in it and it's still physical to you, so you can still see what's going on, and then it goes in the brain.
I love it. I'm loving this conversation because I'm hearing in my mind as a marketeer, the amount of overwhelm is massively being
Yeah.
reduced for you. And it just takes away that, those sides of the business. It doesn't give you the dopamine hit. And you get all the nice stuff instead. And I kind of want to just touch a little bit on distractions with you, Megan, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Just because, I know how easily people with ADHD could be massively distracted. Let's think about when you're actually out on weddings. What working environments are better for you for managing your ADHD symptoms? For example, do you prefer like a quiet bedroom or is it a noisy bridal suite? Like, talk about
Yeah,
it.
so something else I'm looking into is sensory processing disorder. And I find for me, sensory wise, I work better when there's music and when there's talking and I'm not one for awkward silences because then I feel like I need to fill that silence and then it's all a bit like, oh no, I've said something I shouldn't. Or and most people can see, I think, like my presence on social media and stuff is me, like I don't when I do a story, I don't sit there and record it five or six times until I get it perfect. I kind of, if I make a mistake, then people know that I'm a bit more human and that's kind of what happens. And I always say to people on trials and stuff like that, like, please talk to me, please tell me, because otherwise you'll leave and I'll be like, I don't know if they like that. Did they like it? What happened? And all that kind of thing. So, yeah, for me, it's talking, communication really is key. I love also bringing my personality out with it. And it's almost like that dopamine hit again makes me feel a bit more extroverted. I feel like actually then I'll sing along to the songs with them, or we'll have a morning where we're joking around and singing. A couple of mornings ago, I had a bridal party that had country music on, and I felt instantly like, huh, this is like a home from home. I know what all the songs are. I feel like my brain's focused. I haven't got a worry. And I'm also one of those people that really senses other people's emotions. So if someone's feeling sad, then I kind of feel like I've got to cheer them up. Or if someone's feeling like nervous, then sometimes I can take that energy. So I've started learning throughout doing weddings that actually I can't do that. So I need to focus on how I can make it just seem like everything's going to go well, everything's going to go fine. And I find that being organized, that is what helps with those things. So I'll be like, this is the schedule, this is what we're doing. We'll have you ready by this time, and it'll all be okay. And that normally kind of settles people. But I definitely find distraction wise, that it being very quiet is not good for me. There being any sort of arguments or any sort of worry that's going on, I'm like, I want to fix this for you. So yeah, that's probably the worst things for me.
It's so interesting listening to that. You pick up everybody's energy, and it's interesting because nurses, psychology, they wear white to actually reflect back the emotions. So it's really, really important that we learn a bit about that psychology side, especially for people like you in your situation. This really does lead me into the next question really nicely, which is, has your ADHD ever affected your friendships at all?
Oh, hugely. And I think until I started accepting my neurodivergence, I didn't understand friendships. I've constantly been one of those people that have had friends. I've always had friends, but I couldn't tell you how many people I now speak to from school because it's none. I don't get me wrong, if I saw them in the supermarket or I saw them down the road, I'd say hello and all that. But I was very socially awkward and very. I was such a people pleaser that I think it rubbed people the wrong way sometimes. It was like, I was too nice. And it was almost like sometimes it came across a bit two-faced, like I was trying to be that friend, and they didn't get on. So it wasn't until I kind of got to sort of 16, 17, about the time that I met my husband, that I'd be like, okay, not everyone's for everyone. And that's a huge lesson that I've taken into definitely this job, because sometimes I meet clients and expectations are really high and that kind of thing. And actually sometimes I do have to tell myself, and me and Lauren a voice note saying like, sometimes people are not for everyone, and that is something we've got to accept. But my friends later in life, my best friend I've been friends with since I met my husband, so like 15 years now, she just gets me. She really just gets me. And she knows that if I don't answer a message, I'm not being rude. It's that I probably have looked at it and never got back to her. And she'll just nudge me and be like, Meg, are you there? And I'll be like, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm still here. Like Lauren and I, we can go weeks without talking. And then the minute that we talk again, it's like, oh, you've been nowhere. So I think it's understanding yourself and getting people to understand you. And I've also, that's a lesson that I'm really trying to teach my little boy, because he's very much one of those children that's going through the same thing. And I see a lot of me in him. So he's now in year one and he's trying to make friends with everyone. And I keep saying to him, sometimes not everyone's for everyone. And that's what he's got, very obscure interests like I do. So I feel like sometimes that can put people off, but sometimes people think, actually, that's really cool that you like that. So yeah, it's just kind of going with it and understanding yourself is such a big part of it.
Yeah, massive. I'm thinking to myself, your friends really must understand when you're hyper focused. Megan, that there's no moving you on that. You may be that person that gets back to them a week later because you've just got so much, going
Yeah,
on in that one
certainly.
area.
I mean, my friend will say to me when wedding season starts, she's like, "Well, we won't see her for 6 months then, or like even longer now." And I'm like, "I'm so sorry." And she's like, "No, don't be sorry, because you're doing amazingly, and you're building your business, and you're building a career that you love, and all that kind of thing." And she's a stay-at-home mum, and she's like, "Part of me wishes I could do that." And I'm like, "But part of me wishes we all wish that you could do the certain things that you don't get to do, don't you?" So yeah, the fact that people are kind of egging me on to do more, I'm like, okay, yeah, I can do this. I can keep building it up and doing more. So I think having the right people around you is really, really important.
Yeah, I agree with that. Actually, just thinking about it leads us into the next question, which is you have actually signed up to my VIP day coming up,
Yes.
Megan. What motivated you to jump in?
I feel like coaching and sort of understanding and all that kind of thing, I'm always willing to learn. Definitely, even with the styling side of it, like I feel like new tips and tricks come in, and I'm like, oh, that makes so much more sense to my brain. And when I listen to the podcast, and I've been following you on social media for a while, everything you kind of were giving out was speaking to me, and I didn't know whether that was really great marketing on your behalf, or whether it was actually that it was connecting because you understand once again the neurodivergent side of it and that kind of thing. And the biggest thing for me is building a business and being successful. The last 5 years have been absolutely crazy. And if I think back to when I first started, of where I am now, I would be like, oh my God, that's not going to happen. So I think it's for me, that imposter syndrome, that pushing myself a bit more, constantly learning, the networking and that kind of thing as well. I just find it so. I saw your post yesterday, I think it was, about having the right people around you again for wedding days, and I completely agree. And I find I work with certain people so well that I'm not anxious about the morning, and I know it will go so well, and I know I'll get a lovely review, and that gives me that dopamine. So I feel like, yeah, it's something that I'm really interested in, something that I always feel like I could do better at. So any kind of knowledge and expertise from someone that's been there, especially like yourself, is just so valuable, and it's something that I feel like every day is a school day at this point. I feel like I've learned more in the last 5 years than I ever did at school, because it's something that I actually really enjoy, and something that I'm like, oh, I could do that with my business, or I could change that, or these ideas come to my head and I'm like, actually, they're not unrealistic now, because with the tools that you guys give us, they are something you can put into play.
Yeah, and I think the more that you learn, the more that you earn.
Yeah,
And it's
definitely.
so important, isn't it? It's going to be so the VIP day is going to be very ADHD friendly. You're going to get lots of done for you stuff because I
Yeah.
know how distracted you can get. If I
Yeah.
give any of my ADHD students go and write 10 posts, they will take forever and a day to do it because it doesn't give them the dopamine hit. So we do a lot of done for you stuff. And we've got a gorgeous workbook that you can work through to make your 5K in 90 days. So are you excited for this? And have you joined the Facebook group yet?
I'm super excited. I feel like it couldn't have come at a better time as well, because I feel like sometimes wedding season hits, and you get so focused on wedding season that it kind of just goes into tunnel vision, and that's just it. And then your business kind of, the business side of it kind of slows down. And although you've got loads of content and all this time to, you've got all this content and stuff to share, having the time to do it is another completely different thing. So learning how to manage it and learning how to keep progressing is such a big thing. And although money isn't everything, it's nice to know that actually you're going the right way, and that you could do less and earn more. Because for me, especially as a neurodivergent person, the less I can do in sort of like the admin phase and all that kind of thing, I'm like, right, okay, yeah, give it to me, because I need to know this.
Yeah, all of those kind of juicy hooks and things that I create for Inner Circle, they do love that, because like you said, it's time in busy season, you still have to market your business because it's all year round, so it's very important. I absolutely love this session, Megan. It's so heartwarming to listen to your story. What would you to say to anyone else listening to this podcast and thinking, bloody hell, this is me? Like, what's the first thing that they should do?
I think the right to choose system is great because as I know at the moment, there's about a three it's up to 3 months waiting list. So it's a quicker way of getting into the pathway. If you feel like it is, there's a short questionnaire. You can just tick a few boxes. It's not something that you need to hyper focus on. It's not something that you need to take loads of time on. It's something that you can literally just be like, yes, that's me, or no, that's not. And it will give you a score and it will generate the letter for you. So it's all done for you. And I feel like then, and once you're kind of on the pathway, I feel like the next thing is kind of accepting it, and working, even if it's not ADHD or if it's not, there's a huge spectrum. So whether you feel like it's one of those things where people always used to say to me, oh, we're all a bit autistic, aren't we? There's ways of looking at it, but some of us will struggle more than others. So it's about finding those ways that really make you feel like actually that's doable for me now. And I found building a community around me, people that are going through the same thing. Follow me and Lauren, and like, and give us questions, or I like, if you've got any worries, then it's finding people that know what it's like and going through it.
I think you and Lauren should start a Facebook group or some kind of
Yeah,
community so that you can support all the women that are on this ADHD journey. But if they haven't got time for that, or you haven't got time for that, where can they find you, Megan?
so I am on social media, Occasion Hair by Megan. Yeah, Instagram, Facebook, all that kind of thing. Yeah, so that's where you can find me.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a
Thank
pleasure
you.
having you, and I cannot wait to see you next month. If anybody else wants to join, I'll drop the link into the show notes, or you can find it on my Instagram account at Kerry Kell Coaching. Lots of fun to be had that day. Lots of knowledge, lots of done for you stuff. You're going to love it, and this is going to be the easy way for you to make money. So I will see you on the inside and chat to you soon.